Come on, somebody give God just one more hand clap of praise in the house today. If the Lord has made a way for you, has kept promise, been a miracle worker, been a light in the darkness, I don't know about you, but that's good news today. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, don't know where I would be. Have I got at least one witness in the house today? If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, don't know where we would be. If you would turn with me to Psalms, the 51st Psalm, Psalm 51, looking at the 10th verse, Psalm 51, looking at the 10th verse. Even as you're going there, I do ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. I preached at 8 o'clock service. I'll be preaching 10 and 12. Reverend Bill was feeling a little bit under the weather this weekend, and so we're asking for God's Holy Ghost healing power to be touching him. We told him he had to take the day off, amen, to recuperate. So we're believing God's Holy Ghost healing power will touch him, ease headaches, and touch his body in Jesus' name. Do me a favor, stretch your hand this way. We're just praying for him right where he is. God, in Jesus' name, we're grateful, and we thank you, God, for Reverend Bill. Thank you for his labor for this house. Now, God, he does so much work for your house. God, grab a hold of him and his house. God, in Jesus' name, we're believing, God, for your Holy Ghost healing touch to touch him even right now. Believing, God, for rest, recuperation, and healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, we're believing for testimony to come, that when we hear from him, he's going to say, I felt a touch from the Lord this Sunday, and God touched me, and it's all well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Psalms 51, Psalm 51, the Old Testament book of Psalms, 51st chapter. Psalm 51:10. And it reads as thus, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. One more time. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we ask God to speak to us this morning as we share on the sermon subject, I need a reboot. I need a reboot. Turn to your neighbor and say, tax support is here. Amen. Tell him, I need a reboot. I need a reboot. Let's look to the Lord. God, do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I need a reboot. My brothers and my sisters, it's a very interesting thing, but as a firstborn son, as a firstborn child, I find myself having various responsibilities. Well, there's a benefit to being the firstborn. I'm the son of the birthright. Amen. Don't let Reverend Bill get you twisted. Amen, somebody. I'm the son of the birthright. I'm the son of the blessing. That's the Bible. Amen, somebody. That's just the Bible. It's just the Bible. I'm the favored son. Amen, somebody. I'm just the Bible. Amen, somebody. But being the firstborn, I also have certain responsibilities. What you find is firstborns often feel like the weight is on their shoulders to be able to handle the business. The firstborns feel like they have to help take care of their younger siblings. The firstborns are the ones who feel like they need to take the responsibility in matters, need to be the ones that take the forefront in matters. That's the firstborn. The firstborn son, I always feel like I'm the one who is supposed to be handling things and making sure that everything is okay for my parents, for my family. It's the role of a firstborn. But I also realize that as a firstborn son, I also have another primary responsibility in the Lee household, and that is of technical support. Amen, somebody. That I am the tech support for my mama. Amen. That if there's a need on her computer, on her phone, on any technological device she has, I am the call. In her phone, there is one number that's my personal number, and there's another number that's my personal number, but it doesn't even say my name. It says tech. support. Amen, somebody. That when my mother calls tech support, she calls me. Amen. And there are times in which my mother calls me, and my mother will tell me what's going wrong with her computer. She'll call in frustration. She'll call upset because there are things that should go so easily, and the computer is just not acting right. Anybody ever had a computer just not act right on you? Amen. And so she'll call me. But what I have to say, I have to give her credit. She has gotten so much better than in the early years. Amen. In the early years of tech support, I would have to walk her through every single thing. But now my mother understands that before she calls me with her tech support issues, she makes sure to reboot the computer. Amen, somebody. Amen. Because she has found, and we have found, that in many times in situations, the challenges that were happening, we cannot necessarily describe why they were happening, but to turn the computer off and turn it back on was able to help things get to moving in the right direction. As I sat and reflected on this sermon, was able to get a prayer request that came in through the app on yesterday, and the prayer request read as this. It said, "I am in need of prayer for pretty much every aspect of my life. I'm just so tired of feeling depressed and having to smile through the pain. I want to be happy again. I have been struggling financially, physically, and spiritually. Thanks for your prayers." And I don't know about you, but is there anybody else that sometimes you kind of feel like that? That you feel like you're going through challenges and you're smiling, but you really don't feel like you got much to smile about, that you are struggling in various areas of your life, that where things used to be going so smoothly, now things don't seem to be going as smoothly anymore. But I've come by to tell you, in the same way in the natural, it is in the spiritual, that sometimes you need what? A reboot. That every now and then the things seem to be slowing down for you, just like your slowed down computer. Things don't seem to be working right, even though they should be working right, even though you're doing everything right to get them to work right. And every now and again, we come to the house of the Lord to get a what? A reboot. And I've come by to talk to somebody today because I believe that God has the power to shift things for you. That I know things have slowed down. I know that you're feeling a funk. I know that you feel some kind of way, but God wants to give you a reboot. One of the first things you've got to understand if you're going to reboot is you've got to understand that you've got to turn some stuff off. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you've got to turn some stuff off. You've got to turn." Now, for those of you all who don't understand technology, don't understand rebooting, what you have to understand is this, that on your computer, the only program that is physically built into your computer's hardware is a tiny little program called a bootloader. And what happens is every time you turn on your computer, the bootloader program, this small program, it activates and it then starts the process or the program that gets it gets control of your computer. And it boots another larger program that's called your operating system. Your operating system, if you have a Mac, your operating system is the Mac OS. If you have a Windows, your operating system is Windows. But what happens is that the bootloader connects to the larger software program that is called your operating system. And your operating system then connects to the various software programs that you utilize to do the work you need to on your computer. So your operating system connects to your Microsoft Word or your whole Microsoft Office suite, and connects to Word and Excel and PowerPoint. And what happens is that you've got these tasks that are happening on your computer because you have your operating system that is doing all of these various tasks. The challenge is that many times that we will have too many tasks happening in the background that ends up messing up and overloading our processing power. Let me help somebody here today. Is there anybody in the house today that you can be working on your computer and you can have about 6-7 different programs running at the same time while you're just working on one of them? Amen, somebody. And you surfing the web, but you got Windows open, you got Office open, that you got PowerPoint open, you got Excel open, you got Skype open, you got all kinds of different programs running in the background. The challenge for too many of us, though, is that what happens is if you have too many things running in the background, Lord have mercy, it can then over overwhelm your processing power. I thought I'd get somebody to shout right here. I thought somebody would get it right here. I'm going to bring it back for you. That one of the challenges in our personal lives is that we got too much stuff running in the background. And we've got so many things and so many tasks running in the background that it overwhelms our processing power. And we're wondering why we've slowed down, and we're wondering why we're not as efficient as we used to be, because we're so focused on the thing that's in front of us, not realizing you got so much stuff going on in the background. Have I got somebody in here knows what I'm talking about? That you sitting at work, but you thinking about your kids at school. You sitting at work, but you thinking about how you gonna pay that rent. You sitting at work, but you thinking about the fool that just called you out your name. You sitting at work, but you thinking about the fact that the one you're supposed to love is hiding their phone when special texts come up in that joint. That you sitting there trying to handle what's in front of you, but you got all this stuff happening in the background. Have I got anybody in here? You've got some stuff happening in the background, but I've come by to let you know that what happens oftentimes with your computer is you've got too much stuff happening in the background. But not just that, but what happens is that sometimes you will have text tasks get into a loop. What do you mean, Reverend? You will have task A waiting for task B to do something, while task B is waiting for task A to do something. In other words, you click for something to happen, and in the background, one thing is waiting for another thing, but the other thing is waiting for that thing, and so nothing is moving. And that's how you get that little spinning wheel that keeps on spinning and keeps on spinning. Anybody in your life, you've ever been working but not working at the same time? I'm talking about that things are working in the background, but ain't nothing happening on your screen. That one thing is waiting for the other, but everything is overwhelmed and can't no work get done, because you got a situation in which you need to reboot. That in a situation like that, you learn you got to turn it off so that some stuff shuts down, because there's some stuff happening in your background that you need to get shut down, and stuff happening in your background you need to get turned off. Have I got a witness in the house today that knows some stuff happening in the background? It's time to turn it off. It's time to turn it off. But the second thing you got to understand, first you've got to understand you got to turn some stuff off. The second thing, you've got to understand is that once you turn some stuff off, you got to turn some stuff back on. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not good enough just to turn stuff off. If you never turn anything back on, it'll be crazy for me to think that if I was going to reboot my computer, that turning it off was fine, because I would never get back to the bootloading to the operating system. And the challenge for too many of us, especially in the church, is the church has focused so much on telling us what to turn off, that the church has not helped us to understand what to turn on. In other words, we've made the Bible a book of no's. When I've come by to let you know, there's a whole bunch of yeses in the Bible too. You see, the Bible is a book of do's, not just a book of don'ts. But when you get so focused on the don'ts, then you turn stuff off, but you never learn, Lord have mercy, to turn the other stuff on. Here you have the psalmist who says that, God, I'm going through something. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm going through some rough situations in my life. Create in me a pure heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. You see, earlier in the scripture, he talks about the fact, God, forgive me from my sins. God, cleanse me from my iniquity. God, I don't want to live the wrong way anymore. He was turning some stuff off. But once he got to verse 10, he said, now that I've got some stuff turned off in my background, I got to get some new stuff turned on. God, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit. In other words, a spirit that I will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you see, the songwriter understood, just like in the book of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel, when he was talking to the Israelites in Babylonian captivity, he says, I know it looks rough right now, but God's about to do a reboot, that God's about to turn it around. And in verse 26 of chapter 36, he says, I will give you a new heart. and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. In other words, sometimes you got to get something new to shift to a new level. You wonder why you can't move no higher. It's because you've got the same old stuff. But sometimes God's got to take out that heart of stone. I know you needed the heart of stone to get through some of the hell you've been through. I know you needed the heart of stone to not be heartbroken anymore. I know you needed the heart of stone to make it to the other side. But turn to your neighbor and say, baby, you at the other side. You don't need that stony heart no more. Create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit in me. In other words, you've got to learn that when you turn some stuff off, you got to turn some stuff on. You can turn off blame, but turn on blessing. Turn off crying, but turn on cheering. Turn off doubt, but turn on dedication. Turn off excuses, but turn on effort. Turn off fear, and turn on faith. Turn off gossip, and turn on gratitude. Turn off hate, and turn off hope. Turn off insecurity, and turn on inspiration. Turn off jealousy, and turn on joy. Cause this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Have I got anybody in here? Cause now is the time. For me to turn some stuff on. The third thing I'm gonna be up out of here. The third thing I need you to know is that some things are past your ability to fix. God have mercy. There's some things that you just can't fix. I remember there was one time I was dealing with my mother's iMac. Dealing with my mother's iMac, and I told you she called me. I FaceTimed with her, and we couldn't figure out the issue. I said, Mama, did you reboot it? She said, Baby, I rebooted it about 7-8 times. I said, All right. I'm going to come over the house, because you know I'm going to handle the business. I came over the house, and the problem was much bigger than my expertise could handle. But the good thing is, because it was an iMac, we had gotten not just with the iMac, we hadn't just bought the computer. But we had bought what was called Apple Care. And with Apple Care, what happens is, if you have an issue with your Apple computer, you can be able to go to what they call the Apple Geniuses to be able to take care of your computer. You see, every now and then, you've got to understand that what you're dealing with is bigger than just you. And you've got to take it, Lord have mercy, to a higher authority to be able to handle your situation. I remember going, Lord have mercy, to the Apple Store. They had a genius bar, and I dealt, Lord have mercy, with the genius at the bar. First bar I'd been to that was a genius there. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. I'm at the genius bar. I'm sitting there talking to the genius, and the genius says, Reverend, what's the problem with the computer? And I'm able to turn the computer on, and I'm able to show him the problem. I'm able to show it to him in great detail. I'm able to show him the problem that happens whenever my mother turned on her computer. It was an interesting situation because I could show the problem, but I couldn't fix the problem. But I could know what was going wrong, but I couldn't fix what was going wrong. Is there somebody in here? That's somehow how your life is sometimes. That you can look at your situation. You can pinpoint your issue. You can pinpoint when the issue started. You can pinpoint the problem in you. But as hard as you try, you can't fix that thing. There's something on the inside that needs a little more work than you. But I want to thank God that when I went to the genius bar, because the genius was an expert in how iMacs worked and how they were built and what they were built for, the genius was able to be able to go on that computer and navigate some things in some ways to be able to fix the computer that it worked even better than it did when I first got there. Is there anybody in the house that knows, Lord have mercy, that you've got to go to somebody? I must tell Jesus all of my troubles, that I cannot bear these burdens alone. Is there anybody here? You need to go to the genius bar. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Is there anybody here? You need to go to the genius bar. You promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Is there anybody here? You need to go to the genius bar. You said you would not leave me comfortless, but you would send the comforter, the Holy Ghost. But is there anybody here that knows that there was one situation that Apple could not fix? If you look back to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Satan told Adam and Eve, the apple will fix your problem. It'll give you all the knowledge that you need. But the apple didn't fix the problem. The apple caused the problem and sent it into the world. And then we got in a crazy little loop in which sin had the authority, in which sin had the power, and we couldn't get out of our loop. We would sin, we would go sacrifice, then we would sin again and still be bound by sin. But I'm so glad there was a hacker in heaven, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus said, God, I've got the remedy. And he wrote himself a code, and he came down through the code of 42 generations, attached himself to the operating system of Mary, and he booted on up. Is there anybody in here that knows that he was programmed to heal the sick? He was programmed to deliver the bound. He was programmed to fight for justice. But the devil thought he was a better hacker, and the devil thought he could take him down, and he got him up on Calvary, and he put him in an old borrowed tomb. But I'm so glad that in hacking circles, they've got a program called a Trojan horse, that you let it get on the inside, and folks think you've got you, but you've really got them. When Satan got Jesus in the grave, he was a Trojan horse. He got in the grave, and he started shaking, and he started rocking, and he started rocking, and he started shaking, and he was there, Lord have mercy, all night Friday night. The Bible says that the sun went out, and the earth, Lord have mercy, rocked and reeled like a drunken man. In other words, the world went dark. God turned things off. But I'm so glad that Sunday morning, Jesus turned it back on again and got the reboot and got up with all power. The resurrection is a celestial reboot to God's honor and God's glory. And because he got up, you can get up. If I got somebody in here, because now is my season.
Stand all over the church, all that are able.